Not that cricket. Welcome to the Clubhouse Air podcast. The name is Larry Quiderai, and yes, it is exciting period because we're on the back end of that thing that happened in Bulawayo, which I'll tell you about quite extensively this episode. The Clubhouse Air podcast is a podcast in which discusses Zimbabwean cricket. Okay, as much as possible Zimbabwe cricket. I know, you know, other countries get to talk about this stuff. I always talk about how other platforms can have a big, right old chat about their podcast. And this particular edition of the podcast is brought to you by Astro Brands and Curiosa Media, who were our partners for the Qualifier. If you notice, there was extensive coverage on our other platforms as Three Men in a Boat. That's on Twitter and, you know, Instagram and what else? What else did we have? The website, of course, and YouTube, and all sorts of action that was there. So shout out to those two brands for keeping us going and keeping us afloat during that period. And what are we talking about today? The World Cup qualifier and bits and pieces, my experiences from the qualifiers and outside the qualifiers, a bit of the Dave Alden effect, some injury news, the girls are in India. And also, I'm going to talk about the upcoming tours and dates. It's going to be a busy couple of months for Zimbabwe.
Thank you, Zimbabwe.
Okay, I'm very happy that Zimbabwe won. I don't understand the game at all, but my son does understand the game. I'm really happy, yeah, Zimbabwe won.
I really hate Zimbabwe won. They beat the guys from USA. Allah Zimbabwe, they played a good game. We're very happy for them.
So,
yeah, it was a good win. We needed it much more than anyone else. We love our country. And now
Zimbabwe.
The pond is stronger than
Zimbabwe,
the US stronger. That's all I can say.
So unless you're living under a rock, you will know that Zimbabwe won 5 out of their 5 matches and have qualified for the World Cup and also won the Qualifier B, which is important. It got us into the group in which we're playing against the West Indies, Ireland and Scotland, while the other group where Netherlands will be placed is they're placed against Namibia, United Arab Emirates, as well as Sri Lanka. Now, both groups are a bit tricky, so there was no point in, I know some people are thinking Zimbabwe lost the final, then they'd play in a group in which they wouldn't face the West Indies. But the West Indies are not the West Indies of old. I'm not saying by any stretch of the imagination that Zimbabwe are all going into that match and thinking, oh, we could get these guys. But you also got to give yourself a chance. Ireland and Scotland beating them in recent times, so Zimbabwe can, you know, fancy their chances of going to the next round. And if they keep the same kind of determination that they had during the qualifier, there's no reason why they shouldn't fancy their chances. So, just to tell you, the standout performances from Zimbabwe, Sikandar Raza, who was the player of the tournament, scored 87-82, which turned out to be the top three highest scores on home soil. The other one, the highest being, I think, Solomon Mirre when he scored 94 a couple of years ago against Pakistan, it was, in 2018. But he's overall is in the top five, so pretty impressive from Sikandar Raza. He also has best figures in a T20 for Zimbabwe. He bowled a best figures of 4 for 11. I remember when I spoke to him, he said, you know, for those who were naysayers, that was, you know, a message to them, but he was pretty loved in Bulawayo, so it's also for the fans who were pretty excited, and they were like, yay. And, you know, this is a player that a couple of years ago, probably like 12 months ago, a lot of people were saying, there's no chance of playing T20 cricket. And that has got to show his mettle, showed that he's valuable for Zimbabwe. Another person who showed his value for Zimbabwe, Sean Williams, came after not playing cricket for 6 months or so. He came and scored 250s in a row. And I'm just like, wow, you know, after 6 months of no cricket. So he's like an important player. Wellington Masakazo was impressed. He got best personal figures of 4 for 11 for two matches. They were the best figures by a Zimbabwean before, well, of course, Sikandar Aza in the final took 4-8. And it was all about that winning mentality. There was periods in which Zimbabwe could have just capitulated a little bit, but they had to show that they are ahead of these associate nations. Associate nations have certainly improved, and if you had watched the match, you'd have seen rather the improvement in teams such as PNG. But ultimately, Zimbabwe needed to show that they're a bit ahead of these teams. They were quite ahead of these teams and won a lot of their matches quite emphatically.
It's exciting to have qualified for the World Cup. Awesome. I wish we could play more cricket down here because the support is unbelievable. And if you look at the way we have been playing our cricket to the way we've played against some of the sides in this tournament, you know, we are on the rise. The important thing is for us to just keep improving and keep getting better. And I feel like we've got a good group of guys, and I don't see why not that we can push that graph up.
Going back in, just to deviate away from the cricket just a little bit, well, I loved being in Bulawayo. Yeah, it was a wonderful stay. I was there for 10 days. Had a bit of a nice stay, and you know, people are kind. Kids saw their heroes and you know, stayed around to get autographs, and it's kind of the thing that you want to see. And I think the players quite enjoyed being the heroes. They enjoyed, you know, how the crowds were singing their names and calling them, you know, like, yeah, as you come onto the pitch, as opposed to all sorts of derogatory statements, you come out there and they're calling your name. And Raza at some point was like, these people love me. It's now an open secret. I don't know why they love me, but they love me all the same. And I think that's what you loved. And you're hoping that this is a trigger or a launch pad for this kind of engagement between the fans and the players, to make sure that there is that kind of love that you want to see, and that spears them on to greater performances. And of course, the nightlife in Bulawayo, people are always up for a party. The only time that there was no party was a Monday night. So if in Bulawayo people just take a Monday night off from partying, and the rest of the time, like, they're having a good time. Shout out to Boundary. There's a place I had fun. I always went to the place, and of course passed by a smokehouse, I think two or three times. I think that's a summary of the places I went to, largely. If I've forgotten any other places, apologies for that, but it was good service all around. I met some really good people. Yeah, shout out to Ryan Synth, DJed on one of the nights. I think it was the second night I was there, and it was impressive. There were bands such as The Outfit that I got to watch, and The Collective. So it was good times all around, and yeah, I'd suggest you go visit Bulawayo.
Best thing is Injija, he's got a slight tear in his foot, and he'll be out for about 4 to 5 weeks.
So he's out for Bangladesh.
Yeah.
And Chitara?
Chitara fractured his collarbone. He's going to be out for... We'll be lucky to get him to the World Cup, I think. So, yeah, a couple of doors closed on some very experienced players. They're open for some youngsters.
Thank you. Congratulations, coach.
Thank you very much, guys.
Cheers.
So, look, I think, you know, firstly, I'd probably like to give credit to Tendai Chitara. I know he hasn't been around for the rest of the week, but I just thought his contributions at the beginning of the week were crucial for us. And losing him and our blessing, you know, puts a big hole in our bowling department. But at the same time, on the positive side, it gives somebody else an opportunity to stand up. So, you know, that's something that we're going to have to look at and work out who's going to replace those guys. But again, you know, I think we have to look on the positive side that there's two opportunities for other guys to step up.
Chitara's injury was a bit freakish, but if you look at Blessing's injury, can we put it down probably to playing a lot of cricket where probably we now need to condition players in a way that they won't get injured? Because over the years, we've been playing a lot of cricket, and the one that has been played over the last few years.
Yeah, look, we have been playing a lot of cricket, and maybe guys aren't quite conditioned enough to such a busy schedule. But you know, injuries can happen anyway. You know, as you get onto the park during warm up, you can get injured. So I don't think you can look at, you know, a certain instance or the way we train or all the games. I think it's just a case of, you things that happen, and just have to move on from there and control it and try and get them back onto the park as quick as possible.
And final question for you, what do you say to the fans?
Yeah, tuning off to Dave Houghton there talking about injury news, the bad news, Tendai Chatara and Blessing Mzarabania out. Tendai Chatara, as you heard, probably might not even make it for the World Cup, which is sad because it's quite impressive. And he's the leading wicket taker for Zimbabwe in T20. He's got 46 or 47, something like that. I can't remember. So he's been impressive. And he just found his form after being out with an injury for a while. He fell while, stopping a fall. And then he just fractured his collarbone. And that's it. He's out for 2 months. The World Cup is almost 3 months away. So he might make it. But it's just down to how much cricket he can get done between there and then. Blessing Mzarabani is out for 4 to 5 weeks, as you heard, which means he misses out on the upcoming tours. I'm going to tell you a bit about those tours in just a bit. Inbound tours and external tours. So I don't know what it means. Tanaka Chivanga comes into the fold, obviously. He was probably the nearest. He was in camp, I suppose, as just in case there was another injury. Richard Ngarava came back and impressed after Tanaka Chatara went out. A couple of whys and so forth, but at some point, you know, he just matured, got back to the rigid and got what we think of. Look, how else comes after? Brad Evans was used in Nepal, but I just think he's a little bit short at the moment. There's also talk of Victor Nyawuchi, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, a lot of these guys have been playing domestic cricket, so it's not like they'll be all rusty and so forth, but with the tours coming thick and fast, it's going to be something that's going to be decided on very, very quickly.
For me, the best part was when I spoke to Dave Houghton. I said, Coach, I've got a final to play, but I know you've called us for a camp. What would you like me to do? You want me to take the flight and come home? And he said, no. He said, win that trophy and bring you back, son. Won the trophy, came back, and more satisfyingly, winning the final, winning the trophy for the country beats every other trophy that I've won in any leagues I've gone to.
Stepping away from the men's at the moment, the women's national team is in India, and after accepting an invitation to tour from OMTEC's ICWC Cricket Institute, Zimbabwe women will be in India for 18 days during which they'll play 5 T20 games against local sides. They would start off with a clash against they've already done that. They started off against Karnataka State Women's Select side, and then they played a couple of other T20 matches. There's some more T20 matches that are happening. All matches we played at the Nice Cricket Arena in Bengaluru. After the T20 games, the visitors will also be involved in 3 one-day matches against the locals. Zimbabwe using the training camp in India as part of their preparations for the ICC Women's T20 World Cup Qualifier 2022 to be held in the United Arab Emirates in September. And the girls in India, in alphabetical order, Cristobal Chatonza, Francesca Chipare, Chiedza Dururu, Anyasha Gwanzura, Michelle Mavunga, Precious Marange, Shad Mayers, Audrey Majishaya, Esther Mbofana, Chipo Mugeri Tiripano, Pelagia Mujaji, Marianne Musala was the captain, of course, Kelly Ndlovu, Laureen Piri, Nomgala Savanda, and Laureen Chuma. If you haven't heard two names there, it's not because they're not playing for Zimbabwe anymore. They're playing in England at the moment for club sides. That is the vice captain. Vice captain? Who's the vice captain? Josephine Gorman, yes. And the wicketkeeper, Modesta Mopachikwai. They are playing in England at the moment. I'm sure they'll be playing for the national team pretty soon. So shout out to the girls, and hoping that they have a good time of it out there as they prepare.
What's happening, everybody? Thank you for the match. Thank you, Zimbabwe. Go, Zimbabwe. Go, go, go. Zimbabwe, Australia, we're coming.
And finally, if you haven't heard, Zimbabwe are hosting a couple of internationals, and there's the national team, Bangladesh will visit Zimbabwe for three T20 international games set for 30 and 31 July and 2 August at Harare Sports Club in the capital. And the matches will kick off at 1 p.m. local time. The two sides will then lock horns in as many ODIs that are set for 5, 7 and 10 August at the same venue, with the matches getting underway at 9:15 a.m. That's local time. A few days later, Zimbabwe will host India for three ODIs to be played on 18, 20 and 22 August, also at the Harare Sports Club, and starting at 9:15 a.m. local time. The series against India is part of the ICC Men's Cricket World Cup, a Super League, a 13-team competition, serving as the main route for the direct qualification for the ICC Men's Cricket World Cup 2023 to be staged in India. Zimbabwe will first will tour also for the United States for another Super League series. Australia. They're to Australia for another Super League series consisting of three ODIs scheduled for 28-31 August and 3 September in Townsville. The matches will be starting at 1:40 a.m. Zimbabwe time or 9:40 Australian time. Of course, the other ones, the Australian one, probably catch it on Super Sport. The other ones are... I don't know if ZBC is going to know. ZBC got the link the other time to show the, what's that, Afghanistan tour, and we barely saw any of it on TV. So I wouldn't be too expectant of ZBC to show some of those matches. So I don't know. As soon as I know where any of those matches will be streamed, I'm not sure if there'll be any streaming for the India match. That is a high value match in terms of rights and so forth. So. But, yeah, it's tense. It's really tense. But we're pretty excited about the bunch of cricket that's coming. Of course, we are excited about the fact that Zimbabwe went 5-0 against the teams they expected to beat. And it was good because, we'd gotten to a point with the previous coach, Lalchand Rajput, in which we're losing some of these matches. So the fact that Dave Houghton has come in and put some steel in the men's backs and, got them determined. You can see from the way they're playing. They're playing for him. You can see that there's a lot of clarity. He say that he taught them to just play without any fear. And that's important. Because once guys play with fear and they're worried that they'll go out and someone, would think they're useless for going out, then, the guys tend not to make runs. And so... He's brought in that mentality, but the big test now comes against the test nations. That's going to give you an indication of where you are, and they'll look at winning matches against Bangladesh and also picking up maybe a match against India. Not sure what sort of side India are going to send. Australia have set out a really, really strong side. So Australia are taking the series against Zimbabwe super serious. I mean, they have loaded the big guns. Just to give you who they've chosen, Aaron Finch, Sean Abbott, Ashton Agar, Alex Carey, Cameron Green, Josh Hazlewood, Manus Labuschagne, Mitchell Marsh, Glenn Maxwell, Steve Smith, Mitchell Starc, Marcus Stoinis, David Warner, and Adam Zampa. So, yeah, it's going to be a difficult one. It's a difficult tour, but you want to play against the best. I think that's what you'd like to do when you play this game. You want to be playing against the guys who are the top dogs in terms of your trade or profession in this instance. Otherwise, yeah, that's it. Remember, three men on a boat. That's where you need to go. They're on Twitter and on Facebook, Instagram, is it? Yeah, 3mob.com. 3 is a digit, MOBDOTCOM. The other ones, three men on a boat, are all words. And you can find this podcast on all sorts of platforms, from Spotify to Apple to Google Podcasts to Podchaser. It's available everywhere, or pretty much everywhere. Amazon Music, Amazon Podcast now, Amazon Music. I don't know where they go. We're available there, and you can listen to us for free. And, just listen to the podcast there. Remember, this podcast is published by Three Men on a Boat. My name is Larry Quiriray, and I'll be chatting with you during maybe as a preview. Of course, the next time I can do this podcast is before the tour by Bangladesh starts, and I'll be able to give you a rundown of them, of the teams as we get them, and whatever kind of audios and so forth I can get from the other guys who are, well, from guys who are playing or whatever the case may be. Yeah. Otherwise, yeah. Shout out to Curiosa Media again and Astro Brands. Otherwise, take care of yourself and the people that you love. And as they say from where I come from, my name is Larry Quiriray. Astivisia. Take care of yourself.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show.